It's time for Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, brought to you the kind compliments of Bank of St. Lucia, who want you to know that it's customers, the general public, to let you guys know of the temporary closure of the customer support center and call center operations today. They closed from 2 p.m. and service will resume at 8 a.m. on Friday, March 5th, 2021. Of course, the bank extends sincere apologies to for the sudden but necessary closure of all the call center operations and thanks its valued customers for their patience and understanding. Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank that you need. My guest today, this afternoon, is no stranger to radio. And of course, she goes by the name of Miss Masana Morrison. Good afternoon.
Hi, Ron. Your laugh is so annoying.
I know, right? Leave me alone. Masana, thank you so much. And before we even start the interview, I want to start it right by saying belated birthday greetings. And just
thank you.
A lovely birthday yesterday.
I did.
Great. That's great. Masana, people know you as the, radio personality from the other side. Maybe we need to get you on the right wave. But I guess you know what I'm talking about. But Masana, let's go deep down and let's talk a little bit more about who Masana is. Like I always like to ask people when they come on Youth Unplugged, let's talk from the beginning. Who is Masana?
Oh my, that's kind of tough, you know. Because, I'm always a customer being the one asking the questions. So when it's applied to me, I'm like, I have to think. Who am I? Well, I would say I'm a multifaceted individual. And I try to apply 100% in anything that I venture into. Mm-hmm. I've been in the media doing radio and radio broadcasting for a little over 15 years. I can't believe that. When you put it down on paper, it's like, what? When did that happen? But during that process, a lot of people were like, you're good with this. You should try this. You should try that. And I started to get into other things, studying and learning other fields and trying to gradually get my feet wet. And then a lot of companies started taking, I wouldn't say the risk, but, wanting to work with me and to have me assist them with their projects and stuff behind the scenes. I'm the kind of person, I do things and I don't want anybody to know that I'm the doing it. Because it's better when you just move in silence, of way.
So
I've been working with a lot of companies to help with their marketing plans, public relations, reputation management as well is something I just started to get into. So I do that as well on a side. And then I started my little company, my tea boutique. I would say in 2019, late 2019. But that's something I think that at some point it would have happened. You know when situations just work out and connect over time?
Yep.
And you reach that point where it's like, this was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you probably had to experience different things before you got to the point where you could actually take it off the ground. And I think that's what happened with me when I created my little business.
Yes, which we'll be talking about in the second part of the interview. Yes.
Okay.
Masana, of course, you went to Entrepot.
Entrepot, yes.
I don't know why you say Entrepot.
No, well, it's pronounced that way, Entrepot Secondary, yes.
It's a little accident.
Mm-hmm.
What were you like in high school?
I was a good girl. Everybody thought I was a good girl, but how would I describe it? I wanted to ensure that I performed well, in my subjects. But still, I played pan, and I think that had a lot to do with me becoming a very disciplined person.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing pan when I got into Form 1. And it really became a passion of mine. Some people actually know me from that. I ended up playing with Diamond Steel for a good couple of years, and it was a big chunk of my life that kept me disciplined, because I had to balance school and, you know, going to rehearsals for Panorama and stuff, wee hours of the morning, coming home 3 o'clock sometimes, and then, you know, having to do exams and stuff. So it was a good way to get me to manage my time and to create some responsibility for me.
Yeah, and I think a lot, I was reading an article recently that says that it's always good to have, you know, children do an instrument. It'll help them with the discipline, and they tend to be more successful ones. So I'm kudos to you. And I guess playing that plan gives you that avid love for music, which, you know, now that you work in a radio station, you know, really added to that love. What stopped you, though? Why didn't you continue?
Everybody asked me that. I got to the point where there were things that I had to do that there was it wasn't possible to make the practice times and to make it work. Like, I may have to host an event or work at an event, and then I would have to go and play with Panorama. And so it became a point where I had to choose one. And then two, the band kind of got dissembled, unfortunately, Diamond Steel. Right. A lot of people know. And so it made it a little easier for me to be able to focus on other things.
What's your best Pan memory?
Ooh.
That one you weren't expecting.
I don't think it was the best, but it's one I got a lot of jokes for years and years after. I think it was my first major Panorama with Diamond Steel. And that's when there was a big rivalry between Diamond Steel and North Stars. And we came out and we were so confident and we thought we were winning. And it was tense. That's why when Pan was really popular on Island. And so everybody came to see this, you know, friendly war between the two bands. So it came down to first and second place. And was between Diamond Steel and North Stars, and they called Diamond Steel in second place, and I burst out crying. The camera was on me the whole time, and I didn't know. And I was like, why we didn't win? And, like, you know, the floodgates, I was crying. And everybody saw that on national TV. And, you know, they kept playing it over and over and stuff. So people kept, oh, you're the girl that was crying.
Oh,
and that's the Panorama. Yeah. I never lived it down. I got a lot of jokes there. But then it made me accept that not everything you do, you will be successful in it. You won't always come out first every time. So it was a good learning experience.
That's pretty amazing. I wish I knew what year, because I would love to go back and actually get that clip, and I'll use it against you.
No, Ron, please.
Definitely.
I've grown after that, because in one or two experiences where we didn't win, I was okay. I was like, yeah, it's next year, you know? So it helped.
That's amazing. After high school, what did you envision yourself doing, which will probably then segue into the next question, and you can segue into that if you want. How did you get involved with radio?
Surprisingly, radio was something I always was interested in. From a little girl, I used to sit down next to the speakers that we had home on the floor. I'd fall asleep next to the radio because I was just so interested in how format got me intrigued, how the announcer would talk for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. Every hour I realized, you know, they come on and talk at that time, and then the music selections and stuff like that. So it always caught my attention. After college, my first job was actually at Radio St. Lucia.
I think we all started at Radio St. Lucia.
Yeah, and it's great. It's a great footing for anybody who wants to be in broadcasting. It's like the place to go. You have to work at Radio St. Lucia if you know, really want to build a career. So I had the opportunity to be there. They hired me not for on air. They needed a temp for admin. Mm-hmm. So I came in, and the operations manager at the time, and it was Pam, she told me I wasn't even the first choice. I was the fifth person. I was like, wow, you didn't have to tell me that.
Wow, ego buster.
Yes, but she's in a conversation, she ended up telling me that she called four people before me, And everybody said no, they were not available. And she finally got me, and I was the first person that was like, yeah, sure, I'll come do it. And from there, Garfield Alexander, who is one of the monuments to help me and brought me into this industry, he was talking to me one day because I was doing admin at the radio station, and he was like, you have a nice voice. You ever thought of doing radio? And I was like, let me tell you. I know it. I've learned it. So he was like, okay, let's go. And that was it. He just took me, fresh meat, and he put me on the people's radio. And you know, if radio is Saint Lucia, there's a certain standard, and you know, everybody at that time listened to radio Saint Lucia, so it was either sink or swim. Wow. And I was like, but I cannot just go on fresh. He's like, no, let's see how good you are. And from there, he took me on. They were doing a lot of outside broadcasts at schools for some program and stuff, and he literally just gave me the mic and told me I have to do the program. And I was like, okay, I have to make this work. And so I did, and after my time there, I stayed on for a while, and I had to move on to other things, and he was like, don't stop radio. This is what you should be doing. And I just used those words, and I kept going.
That's true. People have the perception that radio is very easy. You'll just sit on there and just talk.
Yes, Ron. I tell people that all the time. Radio is probably one of the most difficult fields to be in, because you're in a room, you're talking to yourself, but you have to become engaging to all different types of personalities listening to you on the outside. Somebody is having a bad day, you still want to catch their attention. Somebody is in a party mood, you still have to catch their attention, you know. So you have to become a different person to everybody, kind of, who's listening to you. And you just have to know a little of everything. You have to read, you have to ensure that you're always on with current and trending information, and still have some of you, who you are to the core. And a lot of people at the time when I started, there were some well-known female personalities, and everybody's like, oh, are you going to be the next this person? That's, or exactly, you know, are you trying to be like this person? I'm like, no, I'm being me. If you don't like me, it's okay. Right. You don't have to. Not everybody will like me. And I just stuck with that. I never tried to emulate anybody. I admired people, as is the case for any person. Right. You know, there'll always be greats. But I never said, I want to be like this person. Or I just wanted to be me, but be the best that I could be in the field.
True. And even for me too, as a radio personality, I don't think there's anybody as crazy as me on radio anyway. I'm just saying. I mean, so what next, though? You've now, you've launched your own company, so we can segue into that, because I know you're super excited to talk about that. Pillow Talk.
Because when you asked me to be on the show, I'm like, but Ron, I don't bust yet. So I am high on the show. But thank you again. It's something that I always loved as a child. Let's throw it back. When I was young, I used to take my little $20 allowance, you know, when I was in primary school.
You got an allowance? And I was, wow.
You didn't get an allowance?
No.
Like a little $20 at the end of the month or something?
No, I got licks the last time I asked for allowance.
Well, in addition to the licks, I got a little allowance. Wow. You know, just to get something if I wanted. You know, some children have that privilege. And I went to town and I went to buy cloth with my allowance.
Wow.
I didn't buy anything for me to enjoy. I went to the fabric store, and I used to get excited from seeing cloth.
Nice.
with. But yeah, so I would buy cloth and I would come home and I would hand sew curtains for my bedroom. I'd hand sew pillows for my room because I always like to have a space where it enhances my mood or makes me feel better. So that was always my thing. And I think that love just kept growing. Because getting older, I would always make sure I have, like, my curtains had to match my mood, or I would have these things there in place for if I feel this way, or if I'm cleaning my room, I want it to look this way. Like, I just like to have a positive space, you know, and these things tend to uplift your mood. So then one day, a couple of years ago, in fact, my mom told me her friend had a sewing machine. It was brand new, but she was selling it because she didn't need it. So I was like, okay, why are you telling me that? She's like, no, but you know, you like to hand sew. I'm like, yeah, but I cannot use the machine. That's like on another level. So she's like, no, just buy it. It was like, I think she was selling it for like $400, which was a great price for a new machine. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right. So she was like, if you want, let's go half-half. So I was like, okay. We bought the machine, and she brought it for me, and I had it packed there for maybe 2 years. I never touched the thing. I was just there, and I would see it from time to time. I'm like, I should use the thing, you know. But, and then this nagging,
annoying voice in the back of your head, right?
Yes.
I know.
And like, you know, people say that all the time, and you don't understand it unless you experience it. Yeah. I literally had something talking to me, telling me, pick up the sewing machine, my girl, and start to sew. And literally, that's the one day I just did it. I just bought some cloth. I took the machine. I'm like, okay, let me try this. And it just worked. And from there, things just started falling into place. I made some kitties pillows, like SpongeBob and Hello Kitty, you know, just to try my hand out of at it. And people are like, oh, how much you selling this? And then I'm like, okay. Okay. And then I'm like, okay, well, then I could do this. I sat down and I came up with some stuff. I came out with a Christmas collection. I think that was the first thing I tried at the end of 2019. I said, you know, when you have things written down on paper, you're planning, and you don't realize how time flies. You don't realize at some point you have to stop planning and start putting things into place, start implementing. And that was my problem. I tend to do that with a lot of things. Like, I want the atmosphere, the situation to be perfect before I do something.
Yeah.
But that could never be. So at one point I was like, okay, I'm just going to do something for Christmas, and if it take, it take. That kind of way. And it went beyond my expectations. Like, I sold out everything I had. I didn't know it would sell that much, so I didn't, you know, have enough fabric and stuff like that. So when it was done, it was done. But then people started asking and stuff like that. So then I started doing seasonal collections. So I had, like, used for Creole, Junet Creole, I had Madras pillows. Well, pillows using the Madras fabric and stuff, different patterns. And that did well. A lot of people in overseas was asking, messaging me and saying their friend bought this. Can I ship some to them? I'm like, whoa.
Nice. That is amazing.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been growing, and I've been getting a lot of requests. People actually redo their living room or their bedroom and stuff, and they ask me to come up with a concept for them, different sizes, different prints, fabrics and stuff to just enhance their space. So I've been doing that, and working right now on having a retail location.
Oh, you go good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's keep our fingers crossed on that.
Now, we're talking business, and every business has its ups and downs and challenges. What has been, like, maybe one of the biggest challenges that you consistently have to be faced with as an entrepreneur?
resources, I would say, and funding, because the way I did it, I just did it out of pocket, which is pretty tough. So I would have to ensure that I put whatever I spend, I make back. And then, too, the options here in terms of fabric on Island are, you know, not the best.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of requests for things, and it's like I have to import these stuff. And then now with COVID, it just became even harder because I would work with one or two suppliers overseas. But then with COVID now, the time frame to get things here was like so much worse than I expected it to be. When the country shut down on a couple of occasions for non-essential companies, unfortunately, these stores fell under that bracket. So I was not able to take in a lot of requests because I was not able to go to these places to purchase the fabric and stuff. So just simple things like that, you know, cause things to just go down a different path. But I had to find a way to still be able to work around it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
That's pretty amazing. And especially it's a definitely a niche market. So, I mean, it's pretty cool too. What has been, I was about to ask you, who has been your most surprising client, but I guess you have the confidentiality and you can't tell people business like that. what has been your most memorable moment as, you know, within that company of Pillow Talk?
I would say when major retail companies are like, can you send us a proposal so that we could start selling your pillows there? And I'm like, hey, okay.
That's
yeah, it just shows that the hard work can pay off, and you know, people are interested in the product. And then I've been getting a lot of customers that were asking for additional things to help their space, and I realize there are a lot of people that have that same energy that I do. Like, you want your space to feel a certain way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're home all the time, you can't really go out. You want to be happy in your space and have things to uplift your mood. So after getting enough requests, I decided to, I don't know if you're going to segue into that now.
Segue.
I decided to launch a sister company. I was looking to do it for Valentine's, but then the shutdown and everything, it didn't work out. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I have enough time to make it even better than I wanted it to be. So I'm looking at launching a sister company called Mood. And Mood is really going to just provide these sister products, these little accessories to enhance your space. So I'm going to be providing a lot of things with aromatherapy, because that too really does essential wonders. I'm an essential oil kind of girl. So that, we're doing, I'm even getting into bedding as well.
Girl, you have work to do.
Bedding and curtains and stuff, all of that to help enhance your space, scented candles and all that. So it's coming.
All I'm telling you, salmon pink and gray.
Yeah. That's a good combo. That is a perfect combo.
That's all I'm telling you. We'll talk off air, but salmon pink and gray. That's all I'm going to tell you. We'll talk after.
Yeah. Looking to launch for Mother's Day. I have a Mother's Day collection coming up, and that's with the pillows and stuff. And then people do a lot of customized prints for birthday gifts and stuff like that, with people's names on it, or so all that I do. And everything is made by hand with 100% love.
I like that. I thought you were going to say with 1,000% Egyptian cotton, but love is okay.
100% love.
We can handle the love. For example, when you're doing the bedding, you're actually going to be making sheets and stuff from scratch by hand.
Mm-hmm.
You're serious.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, king size.
That's going to be tough, but...
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. And it's strange because I knew about it from before. I didn't even know what it was about. So because you were all hush about it. But I'm excited. Oh, my goodness. You ever thought about going into, like, full-time interior decorating?
Now, that's the thing. I'm not an interior decorator. Like, to me, these people have a... that is perfect.
Yeah.
I'm a mood creator. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, you have... There was a... I had a customer who... She bought a new couch for her apartment. And she got it at Christmas time. And she did not like the throw pillows that came with the sofa. She felt like it was a little dreary and stuff, and she wanted matching things to make the space look nice. So I'm like, okay. You know, I saw stuff, I looked for prints and stuff, and she finally decided on what she wants, and I do all of that. So you don't just buy something, you could customize what you want. You could be very specific with what you like. And I sourced all of that for you and everything. So we created a whole collection for her living space. So she had nice throw pillows with, you know, complementing colors and prints and stuff. And then she wanted the curtains to match. And so, you know, we organized it, and she is literally so happy with the space. Like, that's her comfort zone, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what it's really about, creating that mood, creating the atmosphere with scents, with visuals, just to get you in a good space.
I love it. I definitely love it. Now, Ms. Allen, of course, the focus of the program is to just let a lot of young people know, you know, what's going on with other young people within the same age group, because a lot of people say, me, I can't do that. That's too hard. I don't know how to do this.
That's the same thing I said with the sewing machine.
Exactly.
I was intimidated. I was like, I don't know how to sew.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I learned, and... Uh-huh. I'm able to do so many things that I never thought I would have been able to do. Or there are some techniques that I started doing at the beginning, and I'm like, that's so hard. I'll never be able to do that. And now I'm looking back, and I'm like, that's a piece of cake. Practice makes perfect.
Yeah. So let's be more direct with, you know, the message that we're trying to send to young people. And I'm allowing you to just, you know, just drive that screw in the wood right now.
I think if you have something that you want to do, regardless of if people say, oh, I don't know if you could do that, maybe you shouldn't, it does not matter what anybody else says. You have that something inside of you, you have that urge, you have that want, that could be the thing that you've been blessed to do. And you're holding back on it. Why? Because somebody else doesn't see your vision.
And usually they're haters, huh? So
exactly. And there's some people that just don't want to see you. They just don't want to see you win. There's some people who see you as a bigger image in their mind, mm-hmm. than you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They see your potential before you even see it for yourself. And because of that, you know, they try to pull at you or gnaw at you a little. You have something that you want to do. There should be nothing stopping you. Yeah, you may not know how to go about it, and that may be a scary thing. You don't know where to start. I tend to, with anything I do, I just write it down.
Yeah.
For me, it's easier if I write my thoughts down. Because, you know, sometimes you have things running in your head and you're trying to put everything together mentally. You could burn yourself out. You could become this...
I understand.
I'm just trying to set the picture. So I tend to write things down. And after I write it down, then I could see, okay, this can't work like that. Maybe I could do this. So sometimes you may need a visual to get you there. So don't think about what anybody else says or if it doesn't work, because that was one of my fears too. What if I go and spend money and buy fabric and spend money doing this and making this and not one sells? what am I going to do? Because I don't play by my pockets. So I did not want to be at a loss.
Yeah.
I just took the leap, and it worked out for me. And I think if that's the reason why a lot of people say, okay, I won't do it because I don't know if it will work, you will not know if it works unless you try.
Definitely.
So you just have to go for it.
Well, Miss Anna, very well said. I'm very inspired myself, and now I just did. I just wanted to let you know that I kind of literally did my whole room over, and I was like, okay, Miss Anna could do this. Miss Anna could do that. So,
I'll organize you.
That's what you just did me. Miss Anna, give people your handles and how they could get in contact with you if they wanted, you know, get in touch with Moods or Pillow Talk.
Well, Pillow Talk, and you see, Ron, and you will know the struggle when you're doing everything on your own.
Oh my goodness.
It can be overwhelming at times. I'm like, how am I going to get where I need to get if, you know, I cannot find the time, or I have to pay attention to certain things, et cetera, et cetera. So my social media, I have to pay some more attention to that. Mm-hmm. But it's because I'm sewing and I'm trying to manage the rest of my life. So I have to put things in place. But you could follow me at It's Pillow Talk by Sana. And very soon I will be putting up the information and becoming a little more active, because I have some time for the next couple of days to focus on that.
Yeah.
So we will be launching Mood for Mother's Day.
I'm excited.
So you could customize pillows for your mom, whether it's for her bedroom, for her living space. If you want to get her curtains to brighten her space as well to match. We go based off of whatever. If your color, your sofa is black, you want pink, you want blue, you want orange, it doesn't matter. We organize you. The scented candles, that is coming, the aromatherapy, and all of that. So you could just follow Pillow Talk by Sana on Instagram and Facebook. And my number, you could call or WhatsApp, 723-1008.
Sana Morrison, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And I guess we're looking forward to hearing your big success story soon, yes?
Fingers crossed.
All right,
thanks for having me, Ron.
It's a pleasure. That was Sana Morrison, our guest this afternoon on Youth Unplugged.